This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710 and the Seattle Sports app. It's so nice, Dave, to come on after a Mariners win.
Well, it's a good thing we weren't broadcasting over the weekend.
That's right. That's right. I was fearful after the weekend that we'd be coming in after a four-game sweep, trying to keep people from jumping off bridges out there. I mean, that was just not what you expected going into this series with a team that's somewhere around 20 games under 500, the Angels, and they just kind of own you for the first three games. And yeah, so very nice that they get a win. It was, I mean, man, how about Logan Gilbert today? 11 strikeouts, career high, dominant, just dominant out there.
You know, he's going to work his way into that little rotation. We won't ask Blowers about that tomorrow.
You want to bring it up again?
Yeah, because I don't know. I'm just very, antsy about that. Like, could it be Marco? Could it be Logan Gilbert? Definitely could be Logan Gilbert.
Yeah.
You look at where he's at right now. Holy smokes. I mean, that just, he's unhittable. He's still, I didn't notice. Does he still have the goatee going?
Remember. Oh, yeah. It's in full effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks pretty good.
Since he grew one, I'm thinking about maybe shaving mine to see if maybe it helps either the Mariners or the Seahawks.
Well, they won today, so you don't have to do that.
All right.
If they had lost today, I would have been right on board. I would have brought you the shaving cream. Said, I'm going to help you. Help you with that. But, yeah, it was good. You know, listen, you want to do better than one out of four, but I was fearful of the sweep because the offense is just dead, to say the least, before this game. I mean, you know, and obviously you're without your three biggest home run hitters. You're without Suarez, you're without Julio, and you're without Cal Raleigh. So that's a lot of firepower. I mean, any lineup is going to struggle when you're missing those kind of pieces. But you got other guys that have had success in this league that this is their time. This, and other guys that are trying to prove, I belong, I should be an everyday guy, whatever it is. And we're talking about, you know, Dylan Moore and Abraham Toro and Sam Haggerty and those kind of players. This is your opportunity to truly shine. You're getting opportunities where you know you're going to be in the lineup day in, day out. You know, somebody like Toro, make it count. Show them. Show them why you should be more than just a utility guy if that's what you believe about yourself. So it's good to see them get out there, put up a bunch of runs. I mean, Santana with a grand slam and another home run, and Ty France with a home run. They'd, once again, do it with a long ball. You know, they could have used some manufacturing of runs in the previous two games, but it was just good to see. It just felt better because it felt like we were having a conversation off air. We're looking at standings. We're looking, well, here's what the White Sox have left in front of them. Here's what the Orioles have left in front of them. Boy, we got to root for the Astros here, and we got to root for this team here. And I'm like, ugh. It just made me feel dirty afterwards. Like, you know what? Shouldn't have to root for anybody. Handle your own business. You'll be fine, regardless of what those teams do.
Well, I don't have a problem having that conversation at all when they're winning and they're taking care of your business, right? I mean, yeah. And the other thing I said to you when we were talking about, you said maybe we'd go 14-6 would be the magic number. My wish was, let's not have it come down to that they have to win five in a row at the end of the season. Because even though it's, what, the A's and the Tigers at the end.
Tigers they end with.
Yeah, I just don't want to have to go through that. It's going to be too hard to watch. And then, you know, when you get in and, you know, you're having to get in because other teams lost and all that, it'll just take away from, I think, the excitement. Now, the fans, they're not going to care. Look, they're in the playoffs. You know, even if somebody said, hey, did you hear the Mariners are in the playoffs? You want to go to the game? Yeah, sure, I'll go. Because, you know, for the diehard fans, you want to fight your way in and make it happen. So hopefully they're able to get that done. And boy, Mitch Haniger, you know, he broke a streak.
0-for-20.
Yeah, I mean, it's been rough for him, and it's just very unlike him. So hopefully the way that we see, like, Logan Gilbert finishing the season and Marco, maybe Mitch and Ty and, you know, those guys will start to come around a little bit.
Yeah, it was, it was much needed today, though. You needed your pitcher. You needed Gilbert to go out there and shut him down because you didn't know if you were going to have any slack at all in terms of runs to play with, and that's exactly what he did.
Gilbert from the stretch stares in the 2-2. Swing and a miss. He got him. A four-seamer that he zips right on past Theis. Walter has been here all day, and he has been mean. Strikeout number 11 for Logan Gilbert, a career high. And he sits down the Angels again. Only one run allowed in six innings. A dynamite day for Logan Gilbert.
Oh, Walter. I love our broadcasters, man. I was listening to the game, Gary Hill, and he was mean.
Yeah.
Did you hear today, I don't know if you're listening, but Rick Riz took a foul ball to the water bottle. He had a water bottle sitting up there, and they were both just cracking
today,
up.
He did?
He was up there, and he's like, whoa, whoa, look out. Oh, that thing just obliterated my water bottle. It's hilarious the way he's describing it and everything. So, but, yeah, that was full Walter White there from Logan Gilbert.
He looks outstanding. He looks outstanding out there. I mean, he was dominant. Now, you know, you have to acknowledge Mike Trout did not play today, but he's not the only threat. You still have Ohtani to deal with. You still have Renjifo is just killing this team. Just felt like every time he was up, he was hitting home runs. So he still had work to do. It was not you know, a light day by any stretch. But just good to see him go out there and shut him down and maybe take some of the pressure off of the offense where, you know, they're like, okay, we can relax. I don't have to grip the bat so tight up here. We're sailing along. Walter's sailing along. We're fine. We can wait for our pitch. We don't have to try to force the action, so to speak. And it worked. You had a couple of key walks. You had some base hits, and then you had Santana with a grand slam. You had Ty France hitting a home run, driving in a run early to give him the lead. And, you know, it was good to see J.P. Crawford come up. You know, these are all guys that they've proven they can do it, and now they need to do it. When you don't have Julio and you don't have Gino and you don't have Cal Raleigh, your three biggest home run hitters, your biggest producers out there, these guys have to step up. They just do, and I don't know how you make them do that. I know that's not lack of effort or whatever it is. They need to figure it out within themselves. How do I do better than what I've been doing? How do I have a better at bat than I had last time? Is it chasing? Are they expanding their zone? Whatever's going on, it's got to get figured out. And for today, anyway, they figured it out.
Yeah, and you know they got participation from Demo the last couple games actually. Well, you're not kidding about Renjifo. I mean, I think he had one hit today, but four home runs and five RBIs, or sorry, seven RBIs in this series. So, yeah, it's just they're getting those guys to step up, those kinds of guys. So, yeah, hopefully Dylan Moore and you know, Sam Haggerty and those kinds of guys will have to squeeze every bit of offense out of them as we can.
Yeah, well, as we just discussed, the Mariners found their offense at the perfect time. So, put the wraps on this series. Look ahead to the Oakland A's coming up next. That is what we're talking about with Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Mariners win. We all feel a bit better as there's, 16 games left that we're at in the schedule? 16 left to go, Dave. We're in the teens. I told you we'd get here.
Eventually, yeah. Eventually.
Pretty soon we're going to be in single digits, Dave. 9, 8.
And then
seven.
When we get there, you're going to, Dave, I told you we're going to get in single digits.
I told you. I knew it was coming.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it's the games are just a precious few, and you can't afford to lose. It feels like every loss is like five losses, is how it feels. And you're watching the teams behind you. You're watching what the Rays are doing and the Jays and what's going on with the Orioles and the White Sox and all of that. But Mariners have had to piece together their lineups because of what we talked about. Julio's out. Hopefully he's back tomorrow. They're talking about he's got a stiff back or something going on with his back. I mean, Dylan Moore had the back issue. Mitch Haniger had a back issue. I don't know what's going on.
They smile in your face, Bob.
Yeah.
All the time they want to take your place.
Backstabbers. Yeah.
No, it's back spasms.
Back spasms, that's right.
Man, that is bad timing. I don't know. It doesn't, when you listen to Scott and Jerry and everything, it doesn't seem like they're in panic mode or anything like that. But, you know, it still hurts. And like I said, I don't want to have it come down to, you know, the last six games where they have to win, and if that's the case, I hope everybody's back for it. But yeah,
you don't want that pressure, though.
I didn't mean that as a pun, by the way.
Yeah,
everybody's back.
Everybody's back. But, I mean, you're right. You don't want to be in that spot where we have to win this, and if we don't, it's the end. The dream is over. You can't put yourself in that position. They're not there. But that's how it feels when you lose three in a row to a team that has nothing to play for other than to be spoilers in the in the Angels. So, you know, it's they've got to handle their business. We talked about it before, you know, when we were saying, well, they've only got five games left with teams over 500, the Braves and the Padres. And after that, everybody's below. Well, that's who they've struggled with. And that has continued. You know, they're losing three or four to the Angels. Not great, but they salvage this one, and maybe it gives them a little jump start into the next series, hopefully, because I don't know what's going to happen. They keep saying, well, you know, day to day, and it sounds like Julio could be back tomorrow, but it doesn't sound like Cal Raleigh's going to be back within the next few days, and we know Gino's on the IL, so he's going to be out for a bit of time. So the rest of these guys have to get it figured out. I mean, that's the bottom line, and I know that sounds simplistic, but what else can you do?
Yeah.
You only have so many. There isn't somebody sitting on the bench that service hasn't played yet where you're going, well, how come you haven't put this guy in? Because we know what he can do. You don't have that. Yeah. Everybody has been put in there that's available. Whether you're talking about Toro, whether you're talking about Dylan Moore or Haggerty or Trammell or whoever you want to talk about, they've all had their turn in there. And it's up to them to make the most of it, especially those guys, especially Trammell and Toro and Dylan, the part-time utility guys that aren't in there every night. Now's your chance. Now's your chance to really show what you can do when it matters most. And then the other guys that are proven, that have been all-stars, Frazier, Winker, have been all-stars, we need to see something that resembles what got you to the all-star game.
Yeah, and Mitch, he got a hit today, right?
He did. He ended an 0-for-20.
So. Yeah, so I'm hoping that goes from here on out. But yeah, those guys, I mean, that's a lot of pressure for those guys. You know, look at a guy like Ty France and Mitch Haniger. And again, like we always say, you can't try any harder.
Right.
But, you know, of all those guys that you're talking about as far as who needs to step up, Toro is the one guy that Scott talks about a lot. And then, you know, me and Stecker went, well, Stecker mostly went and looked up his stats and, you know, in high leverage situations, runners in scoring position, late in games, things like that. He does tend to step up. So maybe that's just somewhere where he thrives and other guys don't. I don't know, but hopefully that's what, wouldn't it be amazing if they, you know, they end up making it into the playoffs and it's really on the back of guys like Dylan Moore and Abraham Toro and, you know, those guys would just be like heroes. But
it's going to have to be, though.
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't know. There's no certainty about any of these injuries. You're hoping for the best, but you got to prepare for the worst. You got to go, all right, what if Julio's back is still bulky? What if it's still barking and he's out for a couple more games? I mean, you know Gino's out for a while, so that one you know, and Toro is going to be the guy to occupy that spot at third base.
Yeah.
So you know that part of it, but if Julio's not available, and if he is available tomorrow, is he 100%? Is it going to take him some time to sort of get back into finding his timing? Does he hit the ground running? We have no idea.
Well, that's going to be tough for Scott because I guarantee you a guy like Julio, he's going to try to come back before he's ready. And then end up screwing it up. But, you know, you need to win some games. But you're thinking, yeah, but if I hold him back just, you know, another two or three games, maybe, you know, I can get the best of him going down the stretch. But if you lose those two or three games, then it's all for naught, right? So tough decisions, I think, for Scott. But you know what? I trust him, man. I think Scott does a great job. So far this year, he has really seemingly made all of the right decisions because he is at times having to rely on guys that aren't proven big leaguers. You know, they're not Ty France, they're not Mitch Haniger, they're not Julio. It's, you know, more of the guys that are like the utility guys.
Yeah, yeah. He's having to piece it together with them and try to find a way to get somebody like Jesse Winker. I saw somebody on Twitter. I tweeted out something and during one of the guys, I don't even remember what it was, but Scott should be fired just for running Winker out there the other day. He lost the game for him. I'm like, well, A, I don't know that he lost the game. Yeah, he's been disappointing, but who else is he supposed to put in there? I mean, you know, Haggerty has had his shoulder situation. Mitch is coming back from injury. Julio's dealing with injury. You got to use who's available. That's right. It. Again, it's not like he's putting in Winker and he's got this guy who's just a crusher on the bench or a guy who you know is coming through on the bench. He's using everybody because he has to. I mean, there's no reason you're putting Jake Lamb and Casale in there, not because you want to.
Right. Yeah, that's where I think people really lose as far as that they lose sight of what the situation is, right? Mm-hmm. They just they see a guy they don't like. I don't want him out there. I'm like, okay, who is then? It's like the same, you know, we always talk about that in the NFL about backup quarterbacks. He's terrible. Okay, go find a good backup quarterback. Good luck with that.
Well, Niners seem to have one.
Yeah, they do.
They seem to have one. In fact,
Can you imagine if they would have traded him away? How they would feel right now?
Who's their third string guy?
A guy named Brock Purdy,
and he was in uniform.
I believe so.
Because that's not typical these days, right? Typically, yeah. you dress too.
Yeah, and you know what? I was looking down on the field. Let me see. Make sure. Let's see. No, he was not actually. He was not in uniform. He was a scratch.
So they're running. They're running.
I'm thinking
Garoppolo on quarterback sneaks and running him up the middle. So if he were to get hurt, who's their
Debo? I would think Debo Samuel. Man. Just go Wildcat.
Just go Wildcat.
That might actually work out really well for them.
You think he throws the ball better than DJ Dallas?
Poor DJ.
Yeah, that was an ill advice.
Yeah,
I don't even really blame him. I don't know why they did that. I don't like that play.
I saw my guy DJ in the parking lot afterwards. I was like, "Hey DJ, what's up, buddy? Good to see you." Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah,
but yeah, I don't. That wasn't a great throw.
Wasn't a great call.
I mean, Well, and the thing is, when you put the ball in the hands of a running back or a receiver or whatever, and he's supposed to pass it. You know, it needs to be pounded into their heads that, like, eat it if you need to.
Yeah.
You know, or tuck it and run. But once you hand it off to them, they think, all right, it's my turn to throw it now.
Let me show off the hose here.
Necessarily.
All right. Well, speaking of the Seahawks, they came crashing back down to earth yesterday. We'll dive into that game, break it all down. Coming up with Wyman and Bob, this is Seattle Sports Station on 710.